on the income of an American citizen living within the 50 states. If you go outside the 50 states, then that's a different story. But there never has been. And so we don't need a national sales tax. The government gets trillions of dollars from excises, from gasoline. I mean, diesel. I mean, it just, if you calculate it, every time I fill up my gas tank, it's $2 going to the federal excise tax. $2. You times that by 100 million cars every day, and that's not even counting the airplanes and these trucks and every time you talk on the phone. I mean, so.
And I started out the show talking about that, in my opinion, that the federal government right now as it currently exists, my estimate is about 80% of it is unconstitutional.
Oh, yeah.
So if we had a constitutional government, we would certainly have enough money to run that constitutional government without any sales tax. And people, I want you to think about something. We're here in Santa Cruz talking about closing down schools while this government that's taking most of your tax dollars and shipping it off to Baghdad. What do you want? Bombs in Baghdad, or do you want to have schools here in Santa Cruz? And there really is a connection there, but the federal government does not want people to realize this. The money is the core of the power game, and right now the federal government, between the Federal Reserve System and the income tax, has all the power plugs on their side right now, and they don't want to release this because the power is addictive. Well, my gosh, I'm looking at the time. This has been one of the fastest hours here on radio, Jason. Maybe you could explain to people where they might get more information or what they can and should do with this information.
Sure.
That you've and also to address that second question the guest had.
Okay. Okay. People going to prison, again, estimates now are that 60 million Americans have stopped filing. That's from IRS own estimates. And if you go to the IRS website, it'll show you how many people went to jail last year for not filing income tax returns, and it is less than 250 people for willful failure to file. I mean, if 30 or 50 million Americans are not filing, only 230 people went to jail for not filing. So it does happen, and some people do owe income taxes. If you have income from foreign sources, you do have to pay income taxes. You just have to file Form 2555. That's the answer to that question. Real quickly, if you look at the Grace Report, for people who are wondering what would happen if we all stop paying income taxes, the Grace Report, the Grace Commission is what President Ronald Reagan hired a group of people to find out where all our income tax money goes to. You can look this up, the President's Private Sector for Cost Control, 1984. I know we're out of time, but basically what they say is 100% of what is collected from the income taxes is absorbed solely by interest on the federal debt and by federal government contributions to transfer payments. In other words, all individual income tax revenues are gone before one nickel is spent on the services which taxpayers expect from their government. So basically, our income tax money is not even going to the government at all. It doesn't pay for roads, military, any of that nature.
That's pretty amazing. Jason, we only got less than a minute left here, about a half a minute.
Okay. If anyone has any questions, I don't give any tax advice. I don't tell people what to do. But if you want to learn more about this, can I give out my phone number?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Anything you'd like to do.
It's error code 831-763-1947. Some great websites.
Repeat that, please.
831-763-1947.
You have 10 seconds.
Okay, websites to look at. Taxfreedom.net. You're going to get great information there. Taxableincome.net. SueIRS.org.
That was an interesting show. Enjoying that.
That was the guy who doesn't want people to pay the taxes.
Yeah, it's pretty darn interesting information.
Yeah, puts an awful lot of people in prison because of it. That's the trouble.
We're talking about that.
What's that? And what does he say? Well, they shouldn't be there.
What he
Yeah, it wasn't that great. I thought everybody would enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was so important for that day, you know, with all the demonstrations.
Yeah, it worked great for the core.
Yeah.
All right. Hello?
Good evening, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because, of course, we have with us right now on the line Chris Milligan. We're going to be talking about the secrets of the tomb. We're going to be talking about the Secret Skull and Bone Society, which many people say, oh, well, that's just simply a little old college fraternity. You know, it's just a college fraternity. But the President of the United States has certainly put to rest that concept, because when he wrote his book about the Skull and Bones, he said, this society is so secret, I can't say anything about it. When, of course, he's been asked about the Skull and Bones, he always, of course, plays down anything about it, or refuses to answer the question, or makes light, as he said, oh, well, does that still exist? Knowing full well it still existed. In fact, he invited all of the members of his class of Skull and Bones to the White House to celebrate his presidency once, of course, he had taken occupancy there on Pennsylvania Avenue. So the thing is that what is the significance of having a member of a secret society, a man who professes to be a born-again Christian and insists he is a born-again Christian, and yet, of course, he belongs to a secret society and has sworn the secret oaths and certainly has never renounced them. What is Skull and Bones really all about? And so with us is Chris Milligan, who's actually studied this, has certainly republished Professor Anthony Sutton's book, The American Establishment, in hardcover, and it's a good book. We have the soft cover, we have the hardcover as well, and certainly I think the hardcover is a much, much better edition, has a lot more information in it than the original one. Chris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Monteith, and if I may, I wanted to tell you thank you. You sent me a copy of one of your Radio Liberty Secret of Skull and Bones. And I just want to tell you that the packaging is just delightful, and the quality is very, very good.
Oh, you're talking about the 4-tape set now?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Now, we're very proud of that. I think you are one of the stars of that, so I wanted you to have it. And basically, this is a 4-tape set we put together, two interviews with Alexandra Robbins, who wrote the book, The Secrets of the Tomb, and she had the opportunity of talking to a number of members of Skull and Bones, who supposedly broke their oaths and actually revealed the secrets to her. Well, I don't think they broke any secrets, and you do not break your oath to Skull and Bones. But of course, what you want to do is, of course, put out a lot of disinformation and then allay people's apprehension that this organization, which has already given us three presidents and the Supreme Court judges, the people who control in positions of control of our banking and CIA, members of the Council on Foreign Relations, all related to this ancient pagan society. And we're going to talk more about that with Chris Mulligan here in just a few moments, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, why don't you just sort of introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll know who you are?
Well, I'm an intelligence brat whose father talked to me about some of his work that I didn't understand many years ago, and that sparked an interest into looking into secret societies, and that led to looking at the Order of Skull and Bones.
Now, did your dad tell you about tell you there were secret societies that were behind the drugs and everything else going on?
Yes, he did. My father was in intelligence, had gotten into intelligence in the 30s when he was an exchange student to China, to the University of Shanghai, and then was in OSS, was on MacArthur's staff, was in G2.
But he was on MacArthur's staff to spy on him, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He'd been sheep-dipped into G2 to give a report back to OSS, which was the executive branch intelligence service.
And I think our listeners have to understand that the intelligence has people in every branch of government, especially in the military, to watch the rest of the military because they do not want the military ever, of course, to consider trying to counter the control of our government by the establishment. So this is what they do. They put these people into military, and then they report back to just the same as they did in the Gestapo. In fact, for most of our listeners out there, and if you don't know, that the head of the Gestapo, Heinrich Mueller, was actually employed by our government. He was brought here after the Second World War, and you've seen all these horrible stories about, you know, the Gestapo and the wicked Gestapo, and they were. They were a tyrannical organization. They tortured people. And the head of the Gestapo, Heinrich Mueller, was brought here, and we have books based upon his diaries. The book is Gestapo Chief, or the Diaries of Heinrich Mueller. You need to get it. You need to understand that, of course, he was rewarded for his fine service by being allowed to live out his days here in the United States, rather than stand trial, as did so many of the lower-ranking Gestapo agents. But your dad also told you about communism. What did he tell you about communism?
Well, like I say, he had asked me about the Vietnam War, and he took me into a room a little later on, and I'd given him a flip answer about it, and he told me, he said, the Vietnam War is about drugs. There's these secret societies behind it. And then he said very quickly, and he said, and communism is all a sham. These same secret societies are behind it.
Communism is a sham. The secret societies behind it. And, of course, those who've read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will recognize this. And, of course, how do we know that? Why, very, very simply, since the very inception of communism, it's been financed by American corporations, American banks, and, of course, loans from the Federal Reserve System. And, of course, that is beautifully covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, there you'll actually find the quotation from a book called British Agent, published back in, you know, in the 1920s by Bruce Lockhart, telling how there, as a representative, Lord Milner and the British banking, and the representative of the Federal Reserve System in what today is Moscow, were always consulted by Lenin before Lenin did anything. I thought Lenin was this wicked tyrant, and he was a wicked tyrant. He killed so many of his own countrymen, but, of course, he was subservient to the real forces of the secret societies. Oh, Lord Milner sent Bruce Lockhart to Moscow. Lord Milner headed the secret society created by Cecil John Rhodes. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, and, of course, we'll be covering so many, many things this evening here on Radio Liberty, the information you're not going to get from the general media. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly with us right now is
our special guest this evening, and it's Chris Mulligan. And Chris is a publisher, among other things. He put out an excellent book on the CIA and drugs called Barry and His Friends. Barry Seal was the certainly the best-known drug smuggler in the United States. In fact, didn't George Bush end up with Barry Seal's plane? What was the story there?
Well, one of the planes that was owned by the state of Texas and was George Bush's favorite plane to fly around about had been one of the planes that had been owned by Barry Seal. It had been a series of planes that had been specially tricked out to do drug smuggling, had big gas tanks and things such as that. And yes, and that was one thing that actually got reported in AP. And
What was reported?
The favorite plane that the governor had when he was the governor of Texas used to be owned by Barry Seal.
Yeah, that was called the Fat Lady, and that was the one that was really sort of...
No, this was a small...
This wasn't the Fat Lady then.
No, this wasn't one of the big, what do you call them, cargo planes. This was a small plane.
All right, fine.
That they would use mostly to, like, haul cocaine in and stuff like that.
Well, I think our listeners need to know that Barry Seal, this major drug smuggler, anytime he got arrested, he usually would get right off. Why? Because he was working for the Central Intelligence Agency and was very close to the former president, George Herbert Walker Bush. And then, of course, when Barry Seal became a detriment, why he was set up and he was assassinated. There seems to be very little question, at least from the book that you published called Barry and His Friends, that there was a relationship between Barry Seal and the CIA. Was there any question?
No, there wasn't. He was working for the intelligence services at some point in time, whether he was working for the CIA or the DIA. People do not know for sure, when he died, he did have George Bush's private phone number in his wallet. He had been gathering stuff together to talk, and Daniel Hopsicker was allowed access to some of that stuff when he put together the book. And it's Barry and the Boys.
Barry and the Boys, all right.
But it has a lot of information there. It's one of the most revelatory books about the story of the Kennedy assassination and of CIA drugs. Barry Seal was basically a very good pilot, and he started flying when he was in high school. He started working for the intelligence services when he was in high school, flying guns to Castro when Castro was in the hills in Cuba.
So we were actually supplying weapons then to Fidel Castro during the revolution, is that right?
Yes.
All right, and see, people don't really understand. We brought Fidel Castro to power. How can I make that statement? Well, if you go and read the Senate investigations, we have all of them. After he came to power, it was very obvious it was the policies of our intelligence agencies that brought him to power, and, of course, the New York Times and the Washington Post and all of these publications that called Fidel Castro the George Washington of Cuba, the Abraham Lincoln of the Revolution. But what is most telling, of course, was my personal interview with Mr. Earl C. Smith, the American ambassador, Earl W. Smith, the American ambassador. You can find it in a book called The Fourth Floor. But the American ambassador was a multi-billionaire who was called into service during the Eisenhower years. And actually, he knew Fidel Castro was a communist. There was no question Fidel Castro was a communist. And yet, of course, he was ordered by the State Department to tell President Batista he would leave the country the next day. Now, Batista was no Boy Scout. There's no question. Just as Saddam Hussein, he was, or the Shah of Iran. Many times his police went to excesses in dealing with people. But, of course, we told him he would leave the next day. We ordered him to leave the next day so we could bring Fidel Castro to power, just exactly as we told the Shah of Iran he would leave Iran so we could bring the Ayatollah Khomeini to power and create this Islamic movement over there that now has become the enemy. And so we create these enemies, but you have to have an enemy. How would you rally the people behind the government if you didn't have enemies? How would you get them to give up their freedom step by step by step? Of course, sometimes you need a major catastrophic and a catalytic event events like happened on September 11th, that phrase catastrophic and catalytic comes from a report put out by PNAC, the Project for a New American Century. It was a group of men who got together back in 1997. And, of course, they sat down and they decided that America would have to dominate the world. That's what really needed to be done. Who were these men in PNAC? Well, they were men like Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Gary Bauer, William Bennett, Frank Gaffney. If you'd like to get the information on that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and just ask for the information on PNAC. We'll be glad to send it to you. Our next newsletter will deal with this whole thing. Everything is planned ahead of time, just like the war in Iraq was planned long before George Bush ever became president. But, of course, we have to convince the American people it has something to do with the wicked Saddam Hussein, who has weapons of mass destruction. But they never mentioned that we gave him those weapons of mass destruction. We financed him during the 1980s. We left him in power in 1991. We blocked efforts by the Iraqi military to overthrow him in 93 and 95. The book that tells you that story is See No Evil by Robert Baer. That's See No Evil by Robert Baer. And now we're going to send our boys over there to die to get rid of Saddam Hussein. And we're not really, has nothing to do with Saddam Hussein. As their report entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses, which came out in September of the year 2000, says, it all has to do with having a justification for permanent stationing of American troops in the Middle East and throughout the rest of the world, so we can dominate and control the rest of the world. That's what this is really all about, and the American people have to be convinced, of course, otherwise, but it's really all about power. It's about the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, let's get back, of course, to Skull and Bones, because certainly this, what do we know about Skull and Bones? What do we know about its origin? What do we know about its practices? What do we know about its power today?
It's immensely powerful. You look at the people who are members of it, and the raw power is just strikes out at you. You have... of course, the President of the United States, the President of the United States, his father and his grandfather. Dick Cheney is not a member, but there have been 9 Cheney family members of Skull and Bones. Dick Cheney did go to Yale, and but he had a girlfriend back in Wyoming, so he went back to Wyoming. Skull and Bones started in 1832 in this country. It has been around for a long time. One of its early goals was to take over the education and the religious institution. If you look at the early membership, you have a preponderance of educational workers and ministers. And then also you have always a lot of lawyers and then a lot of financial people. And if you look at the history of secret societies, you have in the 1700s where some secret society members developed a political philosophy that was called synarchy, and it was devised as a answer a bit to anarchy, where in that anarchy means
no government
control,
right,
over people, basically. And synarchy meant total government control over people, and that people's lives would be controlled completely by three arms, by government political control, by economic control, and by religious control, and these institutions would be in the hands of the secret societies.
Now, of course, what's the documentation for that statement?
Well, it's included in a book that's called Stargate Conspiracy.
All right, fine. But do they...
And also, a person can go on the web and do a search for synarchy, and they were part of the Martinist Freemasonic network.
All right, they were part of this Masonic network, which really did believe in a rule by an elite. In fact, most Masons don't know that, but certainly if you read Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, he will tell you that they will control the people who control the governments of the world. That's what it was really all about.
Right. And you have, Skull and Bone is allied with these groups, just like Skull and Bones is allied with the Round Table groups, which here is the Council on Foreign Relations.
All right. Now, the Roundtable then was a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes in 1891.
Right.
And anybody would like to, of course, the documentation on that, written by the people who were part of that, is part of the references to it are all laid out in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. But we have the original books. Incidentally, most of them have been destroyed. But we got them before it was apparent what the books were, and we've tried to get them subsequently. They're not available. But the diary of William Stead and the articles William Stead wrote for the Review of Reviews here in America. Stead had been part of the original secret society. He was a theosophist, a Luciferian, and, of course, he had formed the secret society along with Cecil Rhodes back in 1891. So here we have somebody who was part of that secret society attesting the fact, and it was very real, it really existed, and today CFR dominates the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Chris Milligan, and of course he's a publisher. He has republished the book, The American Establishment. So you're talking about, of course, this the Skull and Bone Society and the similarity between what it advocates and the synergy, but certainly about Skull and Bones, we know that it was formed in 1832, and it was the American extension of a German secret society, wasn't it?
There is some evidence to back that up. I recently got a call from somebody that said that they did an interview with a person from Skull and Bones that was telling me that there is a split in Skull and Bones, and also that they said that the German part of it was just something that was made up. Now,
do you think that they're putting out intentionally disinformation to confuse people about what's going on? We know that Alexandra Robbins in her book talks about a photographer, or I guess a researcher, who somehow got a camera into the tomb where they hold their initiation ceremonies, and actually was able to photograph their initiation ceremonies, and he wrote about it. And of course, when she asked the members of Skull and Bones, they said, "Oh, we fed him all that phony information just to confuse him." Are they doing that perhaps with other people who are researching Skull and Bones, because they really don't want people to know the truth, and they're creating sort of smoke and mirrors to keep people from understanding the pagan foundation of this society that has so many key people in it?
Well, I think that, and then I think just as in any of these secret societies, you have many of the members who have no idea of what is going on. They're like they're called porch members, and they're there to create some window dressing and to create a smokescreen about what's really going on. And it's obviously from reading Ms. Robbins' book that yes, there is disinformation, and then there is also just people that are members of these organizations that have no idea of what really goes on. And you have within these organizations, as Mr. Sutton talked about, a core group that is more conspiratorial and is more working toward a certain goal. And you have a situation where Skull and Bones, where Skull and Bones was not just a fraternity at Yale University, but these members of Skull and Bones actually went back to their like Andover and some of the other preparatory schools,
right.
and set up secret societies there.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about why this is different than other secret societies. I belonged to a medical fraternity when I was in college, and I don't mind telling anybody anything about the what went on there and the stupid ceremonies they had. But the members of Skull and Bones swear some sort of a horrible oath that almost none of them have really come forward honestly and revealed what happened. But we know that there is one woman, and Alexandra Robbins in her books writes about this one woman who witnessed a Skull and Bones wedding. Would you like to describe that for our listeners? Because this is so strange. Apparently, after the regular wedding ceremony, the bride and groom were taken into a barn where they were going to have this separate ceremony, this separate wedding, where the wife then would be introduced to these strange rites of Skull and Bones. Would you like to describe that?
Well, basically they were all hooded in black, and they would had swords, and they would chant a bunch of mumbo jumbo. and...
Okay, fine. Would you go right ahead? So here we have the future leaders of the world wearing black robes and black hoods and in some sort of an ancient pagan rite, which was the wedding ceremony. I think this is one of the few independent observations of what's going on. The woman who saw this was actually accosted by members of Skull and Bones and told her life was threatened if she ever revealed what she had seen. Now, that doesn't sound like just simply a little college fraternity, does it?
No, they have shown themselves to be much more than a college fraternity. The links with drug smuggling go back to the very beginnings of Skull and Bones. And you have just a preponderance of the images of death. I mean, just in the name Skull and Bones, it means death. And you have, when you look at their tomb, their building, it's very much, when it was first built, about the size of a Masonic hall. And it had rooms in it that were used for basically for the initiation ceremonies. And it, if you look at... how those rooms were prepared and paraphernalia that was in the rooms, it shows that they're very, very similar to the Regent's degree of the Illuminati. And then through Phi Beta Kappa, you can trace very historically, and not just myself, but Masonic authors and other authors have written down that Phi Beta Kappa was Illuminati come to America.
Well, now, of course, I was a Phi Beta Kappa, and I will tell you, I never saw any secret ceremonies. I think they had a secret handshake or something. But, you know, nothing of that sort ever took place at the University of California when I got my Phi Beta Kappa case.
Well, in the early 1800s and the 1820s, there was a big anti-Masonic movement. And because of that anti-Masonic movement, Phi Beta Kappa, in 1832 at the Yale University, became an open honorary organization and has been that way ever since. But Skull and Bones was formed that year as a secret society and has continued to be a secret society. And they are actually in a dark period right now, and there is no public... a listing of their members available. They used to list them every year in the yearbook. They stopped listing them in the yearbook in 1973. A person can go to the Sterling Library at Yale and get the information that they have there. You have to ask for Russell Trust Association. If you ask for Skull and Bones, you'll just get a copy of Tony's book and probably Miss Robin's book now. But you have to ask for the Russell Trust Association, and you can get a big stack of their membership books. But the last membership book that is in there is 1971. And other than, you know, some lists that have been on the Internet and lists that have circulated privately that go up to the 80s, there is no way... Nobody knows, except for members of Skull and Bones, who the members are for in Skull and Bones for the last 20 years.
All right, fine. For our listeners out there, of course, we were able to get one of the books from Skull and Bones, who died, a member. And we published that, and that takes you up to 83, and I think that's when we sent you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, if it gives you the alphabetical listing, you'll find out there have been six or seven members of the Bush family and five or six or more members of the Cheney family. And you see, this is an intergenerational secret society. And, of course, if you'd like more information, you'd like to get our material on Skull and Bones, we have that list. It's just available in syllabus form. Really nothing quite like it out there. We have a four-tape set on Skull and Bones. We have the book The American Establishment and hardback. We have it in softback, but the hardback is far superior. And then we, of course, have the book The Secrets of the Tomb by Alexander Robbins. You need to know that there are these secret societies out here, and the similarity between, of course, the ceremony that was described with the black hood, with the black robes and hoods, and what goes on at the Bohemian Grove of course, is so striking. You need to understand that there are people who know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know about it. That there really are occult societies out there that, of course, derive their power from the dark side. And these people, of course, understand this are promoted into key positions in banking and the Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, they may even become the President of the United States. And, of course, the fact that everybody, the average American, doesn't understand this simply is a degree of reflection of the degree of control that exists today of what the American people think. Well, when we get back, we'll invite your calls at 1-800 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and my guest this evening is Chris Milligan. We're talking about the Secret Skull and Bone Society, and of course this is one of many pagan organizations in America today, but all of them are bound together by one common cause, desire for a new world order with a ruling oligarchy that controls the masses, similar to what Plato advocated in his book, The Republic. This synergy, call it what you will, it is really a ruling oligarchy that will control us common folks. And then, of course, you really need to have this information to understand that behind everything that's going on today are spiritual forces, because, of course, all of the secret societies are rooted in the pagan and the occult. And they never talk about this today. Anybody who talks about secret societies is ridiculed and marginalized, but they're here. Their symbol is on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid cap by the all-seeing eye. When the new DARPA, the Defense Organization, and the Pentagon, headed by Admiral Poindexter, that was going to begin collecting information on every American, they called it data mining. So they'd have information on your medical care and on your financial records and certainly everything you send electronically by email or fax or telephone calls. All of this would be kept in your file so it could be used against you at a future date. On their webpage, of course, they place that same symbol that's on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye, which is the emblem of the ancient secret societies. If you doubt that, we have an interview with Professor Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, who tells you that the symbol of the pyramid that contains the all-seeing eye goes back really 6,000 years. Or you can get the movie, The Man Who Would Be King with Sean Connery, and watch the movie. It's a good movie, but you'll find it all centers around that secret occult, a symbol that goes back to the time of Alexander the Great. Because you see, Alexander the Great was schooled in the mysteries as well. And if you want the documentation on that, we'll be glad to provide it for you. It's a book called Plutarch's The Life of Alexander, translated by Scott Hively. And, of course, look up Alexander's conversations with Aristotle, where he chides Aristotle for writing a book about the mystery religions that has given Alexander the Great the power. And that's what it's all about. You, of course, give yourself to the dark side. You will have great power and great wealth, but, of course, at the cost of your eternal soul. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Chris Milligan, and we will welcome your calls at 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, or out across America if you're listening to us on the Internet or in the Great Northwest at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Chris Milligan. We're talking about the Skull and Bone Society, and the tragedy is that most people cannot believe that our president could be part of a secret society. Well, you know, I would think he would have come forward and renounced his oaths and expose what this is all about, or if he doesn't want to expose it, at least publicly renounce his oaths instead of saying, as he did in his autobiography, this is so secret, I can't even talk about it. That really disturbs me. Why is it so secret he can't even talk about it, and he would write that in his book?
Well, you know, it's because as far as my thinking, what they are is they are a multi-generational cult. and you know, they put on this face of Christianity or whatever that they need to do. They you know, the means justifies or the ends justifies the means as far as these people are concerned, and they use a thing which we call called death magic. I mean, you have Skull and Bones takes responsibility. Well, not Skull and Bones itself, but one of its members, Henry Stimson, who was Secretary of War for many years.
He was Secretary of War at the time of the Pearl Harbor. That was a great sacrifice when we left those boys there to die, and we knew the attack was coming. And I've been through Stimson's papers back at the Sterling Library at Yale. And he simply writes in them, and anybody who would like a copy of that would be glad to send it to you. The only question was how we were going to get into the war, speaking of the war with the Japanese, and get the Japanese to fire the first shot. Well, of course, Pearl Harbor was what it was. That's how we got into the war, and we got the Japanese to fire the first shot, because we knew where they were, and we just wouldn't allow Admiral Kimmel to put the fleet to sea where it would have been at least partway safe. Go ahead.
And he took credit for talking Truman into dropping the atomic bomb.
Sure, and of course, what
if it killed an amazing amount of people in just a short amount of time. And it just so happened that my father was head of research and analysis for the invasion of Japan, because after MacArthur, that's what was his next assignment. And he told me several times, he says, we did not have to drop those bombs.
Did he ever tell you that the Japanese tried for 6 months to surrender and we wouldn't accept their offer to surrender? The only thing
there was that, and there was a couple different points that he made about it, why that we didn't have to drop the bomb. And then we've gone through a history where the secret society set up both sides. They set up the left, they set up the right. Prescott Bush was the managing director of Brown Brothers Harriman.
Now, Prescott Bush was the grandfather of
bank director of Union Bank Incorporation, which helped start financing Hitler in the 20s, when Hitler wasn't much of anything, but he needed the money. And we have a situation where the ritualistic manner with what these people operate shows us that things such as the assassination of Kennedy wasn't just a political murder, but it was a ritual murder designed to put our country into thraldom. Also, the 9/11 Act, it was not something that was masterminded by some guy in a cave out of Afghanistan. It was something that was done very precisely and with much ritualistic and numerological significance. You had flight number 11 flying into the Twin Towers, which looked like number 11. You had flight number 77 go into the Pentagon. And what these big psychological archetypical ploys have to do is it leaves us with a feeling that there's nothing that we can do, and it takes the sap out of the energy. It's just like the Columbia disaster. If one looks at the astrological settings when the Columbia statue was put on the top of the of the Capitol building, and then one looks at the astrological settings when the Columbia disaster happened, they're very, very similar, and it's like you have
But are we perhaps reaching, certainly there might be some significance and there might not be. We don't know unless they tell us. Have they ever told us? Certainly we can always find some possible connection, but also could we be reaching, trying to find that significance when it isn't there?
I'm sure we always could, but when one truly looks at all the ritual significance, such as the things at the Kennedy assassination, and one can go back and read in literature on the 30s that talks about these ritual magic things, and the reason that they're done is to subject the country to the will that is done by these small secret societies.
Well, we know, for instance, that the son of Sam murders, David Berkowitz, Of course, they were part of a much larger satanic conspiracy known as the Process, a wonderful book called The Ultimate Evil, written by Maury Terry, I think was his name. Of course, he had examined this very, very extensively. And David Berkowitz, what most people don't know, is became a Christian and spilled the beans, and he committed two of the murders. He should never get out of prison, but he was part of a much larger satanic conspiracy that went right down into Charles Manson and had connections to the police force, the police forces across America, and that's why they never tried to get the rest of course, the people involved in this satanic society. There really are satanic societies in America today, and if any of you would like to see the latest material we got, it's actually a talk that was given in Ojai, California, published in something called Thoughtline. Ojai is the center of the Luciferians here on the West Coast, a center for theosophy. And in their article, December 2002, they talk about the New World Order and the importance of the New World Order. And, of course, the whole concept that this is being coordinated by a man named Sanat Kumara. Sanat, S-A-N-A-T, Kumara. And, of course, that's an anagram for Satan. They know exactly what it's all about. So and if you'd like to get that, you can give us a call and ask for the material on Sanat Kumara or the a pamphlet they put out on the spiritual hierarchy where they tell you, we rule the world. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. When you actually see this and read it, it's so much more real because it sounds so make-believe, so impossible that these things could go on in America today. And yet there are two worlds, the world we live in and the spirit world. And the spirit world is here, and there are demonic forces that are alive and well. And, of course, channeling ideas into the minds of some of the leading people in the world today. And certainly one of them, a woman named Barbara Mark Hubbard, ran for president, vice president back in 1984. Barbara Mark Hubbard wrote a book that was channeled to her. She's been a consultant for the Defense Department, which is certain aspects of that are very deeply involved in tapping into the mystical. And we have a wonderful video. It's fictionalized story, but if you haven't seen Deceived, it's got Lou Gossett Jr. and really a host of very, very excellent actors. It's called Deceived. It's the story of how our military is tapping into the supernatural. And, of course, we know that Barbara Mark Hubbard, who readily admits that her book was channeled to her by a spirit. She calls it the Christ spirit. I would believe it is a demon. Of course, she is one of the key people working behind the scenes in America today, moving us towards the New World Order, the New World Religion.
And you look at, you know, the ritualistic aspects of the Bohemia Grove, where you have this big giant owl and you have this ritual sacrifice where they burn the cares. And you have, you know, people in robes and you know, doing chants.
Of course.
And you know, and you have people that are, you know, that own our news organizations are going to these things. And then you look at, say, Time Life. Well, who was that started by? That was started by Henry Luce, and Henry Luce was a member of Skull and Bones, okay? Newsweek was started by Roland Harriman, the brother of Averill Harriman. And, you know, you look at Averill Harriman.
Were they Skull and Bones?
Yeah, yeah. And Averill Harriman was a member of Skull and Bones, and he was the employer of both our current president and vice president's grandfather. You know, and their employer. So there's many people behind the scenes, you know. Bush, you know, is just a figurehead in there.
I'm sure he is. And
first, I
remember that we know that his father has been to the Bohemian Grove. Has young George Bush been to the Bohemian Grove?
Not that I'm aware of. I know Dick Cheney has been there.
All right, fine.
Henry
Kissinger,
and George Bush.
The Rockefellers, the Henry Kissinger, Richard Nixon was there on many occasions. Let me just point out that this idea of the robes and the hoods and the chants that are described for the Skull and Bone ceremony, that are described for the ceremony at the Bohemian Grove, and my friend Alex Jones actually was smuggled in there by BBC and actually took pictures of what went on. It was shown all over Europe, but never allowed to be shown on the major networks here in the United States. And what's really so interesting about that is there was a movie producer, his name was Stanley Kubrick, I believe, and he put out a movie called Eyes Wide Shut. It was filmed in secret, and of course it was badly panned when it came out. But it's not simply, maybe it is just coincidence, that 2 weeks after the completion of the film, before it was ever publicly shown, why Stanley Kubrick died under rather mysterious circumstances. But you'll see there the depiction of the men in their black robes and the hoods and the candles. Does this go on in America? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it really goes on in America. And there are many, many people who have seen it. And, of course, when you try to depict this on the movie screen, well, you may end up like Stanley Kubrick did. Anyway, of course, these things, the average person out there says, oh, this is just too far out. That's why I rather, believe that the UFOs or other things out there, but they don't want to face the reality that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield, and we're losing that battle because the good people aren't involved. Oh, go ahead there. What are some of the other things, Chris, that you'd like to bring out?
Well, I personally think that good things are happening, and I think that the Internet, among one of its many things, has engendered a lot of creativity and has engendered a lot of thought among our American population. And we are becoming more aware of what it means to live in a republic and what our responsibilities are. I mean, the secret societies have taken over the education system. They have dumbed down the population and whatnot. But still, there are so many more of us than there are of them. And I truly think that the whole situation is going to come to a head here. And we have a situation where I see a lot of monkey wrenches being thrown because there's a lot of good people out there. Not everybody who works for the government is a bad person. There are a lot of good people there. And they are starting to realize what is going on. And like my dad, see, my dad, after he got asked to be involved in the drug running, left D.C., and within 2 years, the whole family was moved out to the West Coast, and he started teaching school and left some very lucrative positions. And so, because he was in a position where he couldn't be hoodwinked. And the Internet has allowed discussion and information to be exchanged so that many people out there are not being hoodwinked anymore. It's like, Daniel Hotzicker, when he was putting together his book, Burying the Boys, he got a call from Carlos Marcelo's daughter one day, and she starts talking to him about saying, well, we know you have a story to tell, and we want you to tell it, but, you know, remember people have families, and don't just trash somebody just because you can trash them. But, you know, if you have to tell the story, you know, tell them about it. And then she started talking about President Bush, George Bush, and opium. And
was she talking about George Herbert Walker Bush?
Yeah, Herbert Walker Bush and opium and skull and bones and whatnot. And Daniel called me up and he says, well, now what is going on? And this is Carlos Marcelo's daughter.
Who is Carlos Marcelo?
Carlos Marcelo was the head of the mafia in New Orleans, which is the oldest mafia family in the United States. And I says, well, Daniel, because I was in the video business one time, and I myself have turned the mafia down twice, and because I know that once you tell them yes, you generally don't get to tell them no again, and whatnot. But I says the mafia may be, you know, nasty, mean folk, and they might, you know, bust your daddy's legs if he owes them some money, but they aren't traitors. And so we have a situation out here because, you know, a lot of times they have hid things, you know, for national security reasons. And one thing you have with these secret societies is they had a lot to do with the start of our intelligence services and a lot of the spooks. They're called spooks because they came out of these secret societies at Yale. I mean, there's not just one secret society at Yale. There's seven secret societies at Yale. And so when they hide these things, they aren't just hiding them from the enemy, they're hiding them from the American public. And so when more information gets out there in this discussion and informational exchange on the Internet, it allows people's hoodwink to be broken. And once their hoodwink is broken, and they know that then their actions are leading to treason, a lot of times they'll stop doing that and whatnot. And I really see that that is what is happening, because there's some amazing information coming out about 9/11.
All right, fine. Well, before we get any further, let's get your website and your telephone number out. If any of our listeners would like to get in touch with your material.
Okay, the easiest website to find is ctrl.org.
Ctrl.org?
Right, stands for Conspiracy Theory Research List .org, and a phone number is 800-556-2012. And, you know, I realize that some of this stuff sounds really, really wild, but like, you know, you stress so often, what we're dealing here with, it's a cult, okay, and this cult is not Christian-based, and they use mysticism and all kinds of ritual in their own cult, and then they use that ritualistic magic against us people as a whole.
And, of course, they do a lot of this to terrify the members so that they'll never dare, of course, reveal the information. That CPRL stands for Conspiracy What?
What
is it, T?
Theory.
Conspiracy theory
Research List.
Okay. And that's 800-556-2012. If you'd like to get in touch with our special guest tonight, Chris Milligan, he's got a lot of great information. We do carry his book, The American Establishment, the four-tape set dealing with the secrets of the tomb, Alexander Robbins' book, Secrets of the Tomb, and, of course, the list that, of course, you can't get elsewhere. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Chris Milligan. We're just about out of time. If you would like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, Chris, you say, well, why is all this important? Look, I mean, we've got much more important things to look at, the coming war with Iraq and the fact that our boys have equipment for soldiers, equipment for the chemical warfare is totally inadequate. And, you know, and of course, what happens if they use biological warfare on our boys? And you must understand that you can't understand any of these things unless you understand we're dealing with satanic cults. Most people belong to them, have no idea that they're energized by evil. But, of course, what war is a great, great sacrifice to the prince of this world. As difficult it is for people to understand, there really are people who are totally dedicated to evil in the world today. And when you understand that, then things really do begin to make sense. Well, Chris, again, the telephone number is 800-556-2012. What message would you like to leave with our listeners this evening?
That I'm quite have good feelings about the future, and I think there's going to be a resurgence of our republic, but it's not going to happen unless you know, we all stand up, and we have something happening here with a war and people getting together against the war, and if we can not think so much in the box of conservative and liberal and right and left, and more as citizens of this great republic, and look for a future for our grandchildren and their children and their children, and look at the legacy that we have to leave them, because if we don't do something now, okay, these forces with their technological abilities could lead us into a new dark age. I mean, that is what they would like to see happen. But I truly think that the years here, 2003 and 2004, all of this is going to come to a head. And I think there's going to be a renewal of our republic. There's a very interesting book called Generations, where these sociologists looked at
Chris, we're out of time, but thank you so very much. Our guest has been Chris Milligan, and of course he's the publisher, and you want to get in touch with his ministry. Thanks so much. We'll be talking to you later on one of the other programs.
God bless.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I think we've got Neil probably wants to make an announcement from up there in Washington. Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Doctor?
Fine. Did you want to tell people about the Institutes on the History, Institute on the Constitution?
Well, I'm for that. I know Monty Benham. But what I wanted to... I was never smart enough to be a Phi Beta Kappa.
I wasn't smart enough either. You didn't have to be very smart. You just had to learn techniques of studying.
But we had a fraternity at the University of Washington called the Kappa Beta Phi. It was a drinking fraternity.
Right.
And I don't know if you had it down there in California, but... And the key was like the Phi Beta Kappa key, except they had the middle finger extended.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, look, thanks very much for calling, Neil. We're just about out of time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Same to you.
Bye. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do have a book on the college fraternities, if you're interested, written by David Carrico, who's written extensively on the occult. And if you'd like to get that, why, of course, any of the items we've mentioned, if you'd like more information, our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours every day, and starting early in the morning and going until 10 o'clock at night. But we have an outreach, and it's a growing outreach. But quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. So if you agree there's a problem, and you'd like to become part of our team and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter, that's the January newsletter. It talks about the possibility of biological warfare and what you should do to begin preparing for that eventuality and building up your immune system, because believe me, if something happens, it'll be too late. Or it doesn't do any harm to go ahead and get the things on hand to build up your immune system, to even start taking them now, because, you know, barring some sort of a cataclysmic event, a Saddam Hussein resigning or being assassinated or going into exile, we've already got troops in northern Iraq, we've got troops in western Iraq. Our planes, our helicopters are there today as we speak. The war is coming. It's simply a matter of time. And with that, there could be serious consequences, not only there and in Israel, but right here at home. If you would like to think about, of course, helping us get the information out, tell others about our programs. Tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and if you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter that deals with the threat of biological warfare, our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. So we hope that many of you out there will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we work 5 hours every day to educate people about the spirits of battle that goes on behind the regular battle. And until we recognize that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, we really can't understand any of the things that are going on. This is the time, and of course we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers, but we ask you to remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, we'll be back with you again. Dr. Stan, good night. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, right now, of course, we have with us our very, very special guest, Joel Skousen. We're going to be talking about the USA Patriot Bill, number 2. Our telephone numbers, out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Joel, how are you tonight?
I'm just fine.
Are you getting one of those summer winter colds?
No, I'm fine. I'm over everything now. And
all right, fine. Well, of course, now you've been looking into this new legislation that's been talked about up there on the internet. I'd actually read about this someplace, and I said, you know, is this something, another scam? You see, there's so much disinformation up there on the website done that confuses us and frightens us. But, you know, of course, you learn who you can trust pretty well in short order in this business, either that or you don't survive. And I called Joel, and I said, is this a put-on, or is there really a plan for another USA Patriot Act? Now, you have to understand the first U.S. Patriot Act trashed the Fourth Amendment. I mean, it was one of the most dramatic changes in the structure of our society of all time. It was actually stampeded through the House and the Senate because of the fear of the anthrax attack. And you remember, of course, the anthrax attack that came on shortly after the September 11th attack. And, of course, our Vice President, Dick Cheney, suspected it was coming. He started himself and his staff on Cipro on the night of September 11th, but of course he didn't tell anybody that they suspected an attack was coming, and when it came, it terrified and intimidated the members of the Congress, and they voted on this horrendous bill, the first USA Patriot Act. So when we heard that they were going to have to come up with another even more draconian piece of legislation, I called Joel. He agreed to come on tonight to tell us what they have in mind. And, of course, you have to understand, all we need is another terrorist attack, and the American people will readily give up all of their freedom in the name of security, having forgotten that admonition that anyone who gives up any bit of their individual liberty for security will eventually lose both liberty and security. Joel, what's going on?
Well, this is a legitimate leak that came out of the Justice Department. It was not a leak to the American constitutional conservative right wing. It was a leak to the left, who, strangely enough, are allies. Anybody who suspects that Bush is up to no good is an ally of those of us who are constitutional conservatives who are aware that Bush doesn't do anything according to the Constitution anymore. It's all in violation of that. And trouble is he's doing it in the name of conservatism. But this came out of, this was a January 9th draft prepared by someone on the staff of Attorney General John Ashcroft. It had not been officially released by the DOJ. In fact, election officials were kept in the dark about this initiative. CPI, which is the Center for Public Integrity, is a left-wing organization called the Senate Judiciary Minority Staff, that's the Democrats, to inquire if there was any information about a Patriot II. They said that they had been asking the Justice Department for months, and the Justice Department continued to say no such legislation was being planned.
Gee, isn't it amazing how they consistently lie? And then, of course, if anybody lies to them, they put them in jail. But the government has a policy of lying to the American people.
Well, I think it's obvious that they wanted this kept under wraps, hoping to pass this legislation in a similar fashion to Patriot One in a quick and silent manner in the aftermath of a provoked terrorist attack. And that's why this last week's scaremongering, raising the alert from yellow to orange, really was coincided, in my opinion, in part, not only to keep the war fever up. War on terrorism equates to war on Iraq now in terms of the Bush administration and the media propaganda, so it keeps that at a fever pitch, but it also was meant to cover up for this disastrous leak. In other words, the leak came, they had to raise the terror alert to orange in order to make it appear as if terrorism was imminent. I might say, by the way, that only ABC News came out with a brief story that the main source of this so-called dirty bomb threat, supposed Al-Qaeda terrorist had been captured, said there was going to be a dirty bomb this weekend in either New York or Washington, and so they went to Terrorist Alert Orange. Some well-meaning agent in the FBI did a lie detector test on the guy, and he flunked completely. The thing was a total fabrication, which means either that he was put up to it in order to justify going to this terror alert, or some other reason, but this was a total fabrication. Interestingly enough, the government refused to degrade the alert back down to yellow. In other words, there was a political agenda that needed to be met, and I think it has to do with either covering for this new Patriot 2 leak that came out, as well as trying to maintain the fever pitch for war as the U.S. gets ready, continues to move political mountains to try to get ready for this attack on Iraq.
Well, you know, of course, a lot of Americans out there who are so short-sighted, you know, that they can't understand that if there really is to be any sort of a terrorist attack, it will not be allayed by going to war with Iraq. I mean, you know, there are a lot of Muslims out there who feel very, very, very strongly that what we're doing is wrong and immoral and is aimed at really destroying the Muslim religion. There were 200,000 Syrians who demonstrated over the weekend. I don't know how many people were demonstrating in Baghdad, but there were demonstrations in Arab cities and capitals all across the world against this coming war. If you wanted to provoke terrorist attacks on America, there's no more efficient means of doing it than going to war with Iraq. But everybody throughout the world knows that there's no justification for it. But of course, the American people, because of the propaganda barrage, have been, and the dumbing down of our people. First of all, I don't understand that we gave Saddam Hussein the weapons of mass destruction. We're sending our boys over there into harm's way, having nothing to do with, you know, getting rid of weapons of mass destruction. After all, Pakistan has them, India has them, Iran has them, North Korea has them, and probably many, many other nations. We have
them
ourselves.
Let's not forget Russia and China,
right,
who have millions of these things.
And, of course, you know, this is all a staged issue. They have to have a justification. It's amazing how the American people are going along. And the latest poll, February 6th, 9th, by Washington Post and ABC, found that 57% of the people polled. Now, how they asked the question, I don't know, but 57% of the people said that they were in favor of the attack as long as we had some support from some of our allies. And of course, most of those allies have been simply bribed and bought off with big, you know, gifts. You give somebody $1 billion, they'll support you any day. Well, go ahead, Joel.
Well, what I'm afraid of, Stan, is that the United States has cried wolf for so long. We've had a full year of terrorist alert yellows almost weekly, none of which have come to pass. And it almost, when you go to orange like this and you keep it orange, it's almost begging for something to happen. In other words, the U.S. has got to make sure that something happens in order to justify their continued terror alert orange.
Well, they can always create a terrorist incident. That would be a very easy thing to do. And I do not believe that the people in Washington, D.C., or the CIA or above, creating a terrorist incident to justify getting this new legislation through.
Well, that's certainly been my suspicion as well. Let's go to the actual Patriot 2, which is technically called the Domestic Security Enhancement Act of 2003.
I love these names. I mean, I love that name, USA Patriot. Nothing could have been more unpatriotic. So this has to do with domestic security. And I'm sure it has nothing really to do with domestic security.
Well, except that they're targeting domestic terrorism, right, Stan, and that means people who are going to be hostile to the government, they're going to attempt to make it easier to brand them as terrorists.
And, so, of course, this is not aimed at Islamic terrorism at all, is it?
No, there is no indication, you know, that this is specific. It's broad enough language that I suspect strongly they're on a fishing expedition to make sure that they can. Well, let me put it this way. If I can describe this act succinctly, I would say what we're carving out is a big, dark, black hole in American jurisprudence into which we can throw anyone who opposes the government under the name of supporting terrorism, and leave the rest of Americans thinking they're totally protected by the Constitution, totally free, but we've got a black hole out there that once you disappear into the black hole, you have no habeas corpus, no rights, no ability to extract you, no ability to find out if you're even in there, no protections against Fifth Amendment incrimination. It's a giant black hole. That's what they're creating. But I cannot emphasize enough that it's important to realize they're doing this specifically so that the rest of America, there's going to be a double standard now. There's going to be a standard for regular Americans, which are going to continue to thank the Lord every day and or every church meeting on Sunday that they live in this free country. And then there's this black hole in which, into which are disappeared people who, you know, are opposing government in the name of terrorism.
And of course, you know, of course, the initial definition of terrorism in the USA Patriot Act was those people who want to change our government by coercion or force. Well, that would be the Council on Foreign Relations. Every member of that is dedicated to changing our government and undermining our Constitution. They're the people who really are the enemies of our freedom, not those who support the Constitution, which every government official is sworn to uphold.
Well, let's go over that definition, because Patriot 2 proposition does loosen that definition even more. In the first place, Section 101 has a provision which expands FISA, which is Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that's their catch-all authority to be able to surveil anyone who is a foreign power. Now they're going to redefine foreign power to include any person, single person, is a foreign power if he can be shown to be affiliated with any terrorist group, domestic or international. Now, that brings us to this official definition of terrorism. Acts of domestic terrorism are activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of criminal laws of the United States or any state. Now, notice that if you actually murder anyone, that's an act of terrorism. You know, it's not a good definition. It's very, very broad. Any criminal act that endangers you is an act of terrorism. That sweeps almost all federal crimes and state crimes into the bin of terrorism. But the second definition says, or that which may appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population or to influence government by intimidation or coercion. Notice how they've loosened that, Stan. Appear to be intended. How's that for loose wording?
And of course, who determines what appears to be?
That's right. Now, one thing I want to emphasize once again, once you get designated some kind of enemy combatant or someone appearing to be intending to support terrorism, and you go into the bowels of this dark system, they don't have to justify publicly anything about what their reasoning is for putting you in there. Once you're in there, there's no judicial review. And even if there were judicial review, it's secret. It's never to be made public. You can't find out if the person's in there. You can't find out what they're charged with.
Well, because this
it's a black hole.
Well, this was really what they've done with Padilla and a couple of this other fellow. They were both very unsavory characters, and you know, one of them was a criminal that converted to Islam, and I didn't know what the other one was. But both of them are now being held incommunicado, no opportunity for a trial or habeas corpus or anything of the sort. But because they are the sort of people you wouldn't ordinarily like anyway, we say, well, you know, that's just them, but that would never happen to us. And people don't understand this is all being done, playing games with our minds, preparing us for when it, of course, happens to our neighbor. But the government would never have taken him away if he hadn't been a real threat, would they? And, of course, what people don't understand is we're dealing with organized evil, just exactly as we were, you know, with the Nazis and their Gestapo. Of course, everybody's forgotten that we brought the head of the German Gestapo, Heinrich Mueller, over here to reward him for his fine service under the name of he was going to help us fight communism. The head of the German Gestapo came to America and was employed by your government, or was he being rewarded for his fine service? Could this have happened in the past and nobody knows about it? And if they would do that, why would we think that these same sinister forces working behind the scenes would not, of course, begin to use Gestapo techniques right here in the United States? So basically, you say there's no judicial review, there's no habeas corpus. They don't have to even tell people where you're being held?
Yes, let me go through some of the additional sections that go through this in specific. One of the things that's very dangerous in terms of persons like myself who are in private intelligence gathering and dissemination in my World Affairs Brief weekly. Section 102 says any person who engages in clandestine intelligence gathering activities for a foreign power would qualify as an agent of foreign power, regardless of whether those activities are federal crimes. In other words, collecting information that can be viewed as hostile to government or intimidating to government, as any criticism would be, does not have to be a federal crime, and yet you can be classified as an agent of foreign power and thereby Section 101 be put under the classification of supporting terrorism and go into the black hole. So this is a very scary provision for newsletter writers, of those who might criticize government. Section 103, currently the law only allows the exercise of wartime martial law powers under a declared war by Congress. Since Congress isn't using that provision anymore, and all wars are simply national emergency wars declared by the president, this law specifically states that martial law can be used under a non-declared war situation. Section 103. Section 106.
No, I mean, martial law, in other words, that would be a nationwide dictatorship.
Yes, basically the imposition of all the emergency powers that the president has to take control of virtually everything, economically, judicial, property rights, confiscation. You don't have any constitutional rights under martial law. Now, Section 106 is a very dangerous section. It authorizes a good faith reliance defense for agents who may be guilty of invading your privacy without a warrant. Now, this is a interesting thing because it gives immunity to agents, not only when they are acting pursuant to a FISA court order, that's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which allows them to surveil you without a warrant, or by a secret warrant by the FISA court. It allows them to act in warrantless searches or have immunity from invasions of privacy when they're acting pursuant to a lawful authorization from the president or attorney general. That means right now. Anytime you have an emergency situation where they're saying, we're in a war on terrorism, and we don't need a declaration of war, we're under the authority of the president and the attorney general under Homeland Security. So in other words, it's unlimited in scope and power. They have total immunity from warrantless searches. Section 107 looses the use of FISA PIN registers. Now, PIN registers are devices that record the numbers dialed on a telephone, where you can track who you're calling and who calls you. Now they're being given unlimited access to PIN registers. Section 109, this is a very dangerous one because it gives the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court the same authority as any United States District Court to enforce its orders, including the power to impose contempt sanctions in case of disobedience. Now, what this means is that you can be dragged before, in this black hole scenario, a secret court, and you don't have any Fifth Amendment rights. They can compel you to give any testimony you want, or impose sanctions, or contempt sanctions, which means they put you in prison indefinitely.
In other words, the Fifth Amendment has been effectively repealed by this in the name of fighting the terrorists who we financed from the very inception. I mean, we established this whole thing of this war, against the Soviets back there when we trained the Mujahideen, and then, of course, we continued funding this whole Islamic movement. We even put in the textbooks encouraging radical Islam in the schools of Afghanistan and Pakistan. Anybody who doubts that, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you the article out of the Washington Post. We created this Islamic terrorist movement, and now to protect ourselves, we've got to take away the freedom of the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Joel Skousen, and we're talking about the USA Patriot Act and its impact on our society. That is scary. In other words, there's no more Fifth Amendment either. They've taken away the Fourth Amendment. Now they've taken away the Fifth Amendment. Joel? Joel, are you there?
Oh, yes. I was just thought you were taking a break. So
No. Go ahead.
Section 121 adds to criminal activities the phrase, together with preparatory material support. Now, this is a dramatic change in criminal law. when you can add anything preparatory in giving material support to crime before a crime, even if a crime hasn't occurred, becomes a crime. This change was prompted by court troubles the government prosecutors had in trying to link the Portland Five. Those were arrested, basically, black Muslim Marxists who were trying to get over to help the Taliban. But nothing that the Portland Five did was a crime. They were simply guilty of trying to support the Taliban. So this new law is written to basically corral anyone who is attempting to give any support to any of these people, you know, can be made a crime. Section 123 says, notification concerning access of a person's stored electronic communication, meaning emails. You don't have to give notification where adverse results would result from that notification. In other words, if the government says there are going to be adverse results to us, the government, from notifying someone that we're snooping on their emails, then we don't have to notify them. Cute. Section 126 gives the government the power to obtain all credit and other financial transactions on virtually the same terms that private entities may. So now we have full spying on all of the financial and credit data of everyone. Section 127, very dangerous. It gives the federal authority to the Attorney General to conduct autopsies when necessary or appropriate in the conduct of federal criminal investigations. Now, one of the biggest problems for the dark side of government operations is covering up for murders and getting them ruled as suicides or accidents. Hundreds of coroners and medical examiners have to be coerced to falsify autopsies to meet government demands, such as in the JFK assassination. They had to falsify the autopsy for JFK. Dozens of Clinton-era suicides and mysterious deaths, totaling almost 75 now. This provision allows corrupt government coroners to take over the autopsy whenever is needed so they don't have to keep twisting arms of other people who aren't totally corrupted. Just blatant evil stand.
We saw that, of course, with Vince Foster. We saw that with Ron Brown.
Ron Brown, that's correct.
Right.
Yeah. Now, they had controlled autopsies there, but there were people involved in the autopsy that were not controlled and blew the whistle on these things. Section 128 prohibits a subpoena recipient from disclosing to any person the fact that he has received a subpoena. In other words, there is a legal procedure that allows innocent people to marshal public support for their innocence and using legal procedures to quash a federal subpoena before they go into a secret government court. So if you get a subpoena to go into this black hole of these secret federal courts, you can't tell anybody that you've received a subpoena. You can't marshal any support. You can't get the subpoena squashed or quashed. And then when you go into that court, you go into the dark hole. If they put you in prison, nobody can find out if you're there. They don't have to tell anybody you're there. You're there for life. Isn't that incredible?
Well, the average individual says, well, this could never happen here in America. They don't understand, oh, we created the problem, now we have a new solution to the problem, and the only way that you could get the American people to go along with this is, of course, we keep a code orange or maybe even go to code red, and the American people, fearful, you know, they bought all the clear plastic and all the duct tape they possibly can. What are we going to do now to protect ourselves from the threat of these terrible, terrible terrorists? And, of course, well, we're just going to have to give the government unlimited power, you know, to protect us. And the process, of course, of what they're doing is exactly what Benito Mussolini did when he came to power. And, of course, everybody was concerned about the mafia in Italy. And so he arrested all the members of the mafia, the prominent ones, and all of his political opponents. And everybody was so glad to get rid of the mafia, they forgot about the political opponents who went into the black hole in the fascist Italy. And that's exactly what is happening as America moves towards fascism. This partnership between corporations and government as we move towards this new world order and new world religion. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. By the way, I might say there's a lot of detail that we're giving about this act. If anybody wants a hard copy of this or an email copy of this, they can email me at joel@joelskousen.com. That's joelskousen. And have them ask for the February 14th version of the World Affairs Brief. If they'd like a hard copy, in print, they can telephone me at area code 801-224-4746, and I'll send them out a copy of this summary of the Domestic Security Enhancement Act of 2003.
No, of course, I think Joel's material is excellent, and if you don't get it, you should. It's not that expensive, and basically it will keep you on the cutting edge of what's going on. I feel that Joel is one of the most astute observers we have. This is why we always love to have him on our program, to bring in the information that I don't have a chance to research, but he does. And, of course, I think it's so important you understand that this legislation is waiting to be imposed. And, of course, the Justice Department, when they found that they were lying, said, well, of course, you know, we were just studying this. Now, we weren't necessarily going to impose this. We were just studying it. Well, believe me, this is exactly what they want. They need an excuse to take away the freedom of that small group of people here who know what's going on and are trying to get the information out to the public. And, of course, the one thing they fear is the American people will learn what's going on and just put a stop to this foolishness. There are only a few people, you know, who really want this dictatorship in America. Most people want to be free. But they don't understand that there have always been those who've sought power. And this is the most amazing thing, how step by step by step, in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists who, gee, we had no idea who they were. I had no idea an attack was coming, but 2 hours, according to the New York Times and the testimony of Christian Breitweiser before the Senate Intelligence Committee, 2 hours after the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the FBI was at the restaurants where the terrorists ate, the flight schools where they trained, the neighborhoods where they lived. Gee, how did they know all that within 2 hours, and they had no idea an attack was coming or who these people were? If you really believe that, you believe probably anything. And yet they've convinced the American people. I know that both Garth Nicholson, who is a friend, and David Shippers were told weeks ahead of time by FBI agents who could not themselves come forward that there was going to be an attack. David Shippers was told it would be in early September in Lower Manhattan. Garth Nicholson was told it would be on September 11th, and it would be the Pentagon that would be attacked. But the FBI agents were afraid to come forward themselves for fear of their jobs or perhaps of their lives. And then the administration said, gee, nobody, how could anybody have known what was going to happen? So many people knew what was going to happen. The only people who didn't know were the people we left to die in the World Trade Center. And now because of that catastrophic and catalytic event, that's a term that's used in the report prepared by a committee that that Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz support, that so-called PNAC, or the Project for the New American Century, their Rebuilding America's Defense report that came out in September of the year 2000, talking about, gee, we're not going to be able to have this transformation of our foreign policy unless there is a catastrophic and catalytic event like another Pearl Harbor. That was their words, not mine. There are really people who would precipitate an event to justify imposing these laws, which will take away our freedom. Where's the outcry, Joel? The American people seem to be so willing to accept this in the name of fighting terrorism.
Yeah, there's been very little coverage of this leak that occurred. It's been very disappointing. As well as there was, you know, when I mentioned that terrorist alert orange, and when ABC News, one brief report about the source failing to pass the lie detector test, that wasn't picked up by any other service.
I wonder why that was.
Well, obviously it doesn't meet the government agenda.
We'll be right back here with Joel Skousen, and welcome your calls at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Joel Skousen. If you have a question or comment, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking about USA Patriot Bill number 2. And of course, apparently there are people within the government who are very, very concerned about what's going on, but they don't dare speak out publicly. They'd lose their job, they'd lose their pension. They might very well lose their lives. And believe me, if you don't think that they would do away with people who are getting out too much information, you need to get the book on the dead witnesses, of course, the story of about 100 people who witnessed something about the Kennedy assassination. I think there were 109 of them that all died, not all of them, but most of them died under very strange circumstances. And, of course, you need to get our new book, Redecide, the story of the assassination of President Kennedy. And, of course, when the author of that book, Mr. Douglas, asked Mr. Robert Crowley, former assistant deputy director of the CIA, who arranged for the assassination of the president, what happened to the assassinations, he was told, well, they ended up in the crab pots there in the Gulf. Well, let's go to our first caller. It's Michael. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. Thanks for another great program tonight. I just have a question for Citizen Skousen. Under these new laws, do you suppose that all these peace demonstrators that, you know, from last weekend would they be arrested?
Well, there were a few arrested because they, especially in New York, where they tried to keep them from away from the UN, and some of them crossed the barriers. In fact, they ended up being thousands more than the police had anticipated. They tried to herd them all into a few blocks, and there wasn't enough room, and so it was only natural that they were going to violate the police borders. But it doesn't appear that they're going to use these rules, you know, on mass arrests at all. In my opinion, they do not want to let normal Americans or even left-wing Americans think that they are at risk from these rules. These are people who are going to silently disappear within the bowels of government. And, you know, it's very easy to take someone into this without anyone even knowing it. That's why, you know, one must alert someone when they're being taken into custody for any reason nowadays, if you happen to be on the American political right, because you may not have anyone to, demand that you bring forth the body. I'm convinced that if enough of us demanded, that the government would have to respond. But
well, of course, that's why you want to be a great big target. You don't want to be a little tiny target, because then, of course, when they come after you, nobody cares. When you're a big enough target like yourself, why, of course, I think that a lot of us would be hammering away until we got you out of prison. But the fact that Americans would even have to think this way, that they would even be considering these laws violating every basic precept of American jurisprudence and law, violating and repealing the step after step in, of our Bill of Rights, which was, of course, established because of the tyranny of George III, and it would appear now we're going to have it reimposed by George II.
Interesting, Stan, that Section 201 of this new proposal says the government, there's an exemption to the FOIA, meaning Freedom of Information Act. The government need not disclose information about individuals detained in investigations of terrorism until disclosure occurs routinely upon initiation of criminal charges. Well, that's kind of catch-22, because they don't have to file any criminal charges. They can keep you in detention indefinitely if you're designated in support of terrorism.
And, of course, the definition of terrorism is so broad, and this has nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. It's time the American people understand the USA Patriot Act was not aimed at Islamic terrorism. It was aimed at those people who don't want to go along with the New World Order, the New World Religion. Anything else, Mike?
Well, it just seemed like all these people would be classified as terrorists, especially the ones carrying such nasty signs that say things about the president, et cetera.
Well, I think that they can, but I don't think that they're going to do that just yet.
Remember that they don't want to upset. Their rule of operation is don't upset large groups of people. Only pick on small people one by one until people get used to people disappearing. But, they've got to be very careful. The demonstrators were almost entirely from the left wing. There was nobody from the right who should be concerned about President Bush and these things.
Well, Well, the tragedy is the Christians in this country are all solidly behind him. You've got Gary Bauer and you've got William Bennett, all members of the Project for a New American Century, sending out regular information. Oh, we've got to back the president. Saddam Hussein's such a wicked guy. And, oh, we're going to be fighting on the streets of Duluth if we don't, you know, fight on the streets of Baghdad. I fear we're going to be fighting both places. But, you know, when the Christian leaders don't tell the American people that they're part of a group belonged to by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz, and of course they're using their influence with the gullible Christian population. So many Christians are totally in support of what our president does because, after all, he was converted by Billy Graham, so he's got to be a born-again Christian. This is the problem we're facing today, and the biggest problem is the silence of the churches, in my estimation. What are your thoughts on that, Joel?
Well, very true. It's I'm very saddened by the inability of good people to see through Bush. They simply, of course, they're denied information. They're denied information about his satanic skull and bones background. You can't be a Christian and have made covenants and pacts with a satanic type college organization like Skull and Bones, who is very instrumental in ruling the country. His father was a member, and lots of big players. They even played the conservative side. William F. Buckley, who's pretended to be a conservative for many years, was also Skull and Bones. These are not true Christians. And I can't, you know, it's amazing, very sad to me, Stan, how occasionally I'll get emails from Christian conservative Republicans saying, Skousen, you must be a left-winger atheist, you know, to be attacking our president like this. I mean, if they're reading my material, they couldn't possibly consider myself a left-winger because there's not, I mean, continually bashing socialism. They could never consider me an atheist. I often talk about the hypocrisy of such people calling upon the name of God and offending God through not following through with appropriate actions. There's a great deal of unthinking people who have this knee-jerk reaction in defense of the president.
I think that's one of the big problems. Of course, you know, the president certainly could publicly renounce or even privately renounce his allegiance to Skull and Bones and the oath that he's sworn, but he's never done it.
He's had an opportunity to. There have been reporters who have been able to publicly question him about that, and he diverts the question. He says, you know, I'd rather not, you know, talk about this, but he will not repudiate it.
And I would think that anybody would repudiate an organization where the people wear a black hoods and black robes and chant strange pagan and strange pagan ceremonies. So reminiscent of that movie Eyes Wide Shut. Anything else you want to ask, Mike?
No, that's all, thanks.
Okay, thanks so much. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment about what we're talking about this evening and this draconian legislation that has been enacted, it's apparently it's just sort of waiting in the wings for the next terrorist strike to stampede this through Congress. And so I think we ought to let our congressmen know, if you're concerned, that if they dare to vote for something like this, that you will remember in November. Remember, members of Congress have to be reelected every 2 years. And, of course, if they do something like this, they had no excuse for voting for the first USA Patriot Act, even less, of course, for what's happening now. And if we have to vote out every good conservative Republican, we should do it. And as well as the bad Democrats, we have to get people in there who'll take a stand for the Constitution and for freedom, rather than go along with the leaders of the respective parties. Well, is there anything else in the legislation we should cover?
Oh, yes, there's some very important things, Stan. Sections 302 through 306 establish a DNA database, which is, you know, what the government really wants is to go beyond fingerprints and have DNA sampling of everyone. So now, Section 306 requires that all terrorist suspects, anyone who's even been suspected of and get into that corral, as a condition of their release, have to give DNA samples to the government. Section 312 dismantles all the consent decrees against illegal spying activities by local police forces. New York has had many judicial consent decrees whereby they have had to promise not to engage in spying, and now all those are being dismantled by Section 312 of this legislation. This is so the government can have a seamless connection with local authorities, and they can all do illegal spying without being guilty of having violated a consent decree with the courts. Section 313 provides liability protection for businesses that spy on their customers on behalf of Homeland Security in violation of their privacy agreements. Fantastic. Section 402 expands the terrorist activities to include material support for terrorism, which can include instruction or teaching designed to impart any skill. If you get caught teaching anyone who turns out to be a terrorist, you can be rounded up as well. Section 404 makes it a crime to use encryption in the commission of anything that can be construed as terrorism. Section 410 removes any statute of limitations related to the prosecution of anyone who is accused of terrorism. Section 408 creates lifetime parole for nonviolent crimes like computer cyber attacks. Meaning, see, parole is normally limited to a certain portion of what the crime is stated or punishment is stated in statute. It can never exceed the number of years that you would actually spend in prison. Now they've created an issue of lifetime parole, which means you're on parole for life. We're going to track you for the rest of your life, and you can never get off. That's an incredible denial of constitutional
law. Oh, but we've got to fight those wicked terrorists, don't we? The Osama bin Laden, who, of course, was financed by the CIA all during the Afghan War.
Section 427 puts in asset forfeiture into the U.S., into this new Patriot Act, and Section 501 is the worst.
Now, tell me about the asset forfeiture. When they can invoke asset forfeiture?
Well, it wasn't part of the Patriot Act, and now it is, according to 427. Parallel provision to be able to take the assets of any person planning or perpetrating an act of terrorism within the jurisdiction of the United States. In other words, and that definition is very broad, so if you get riled in, they can take everything you own. Now, Section 501 is extremely dangerous. The Justice Department is expanding Section 802 of the First Patriot Act, which is that definition of terrorism. And incredibly, they claim that 802 is not broad enough, specifically because we need to make sure that any service to a hostile group or army or terrorist group brings you under the aegis of this terrorist act. And specifically, they want to make sure that anyone who's brought into this dark hole of terrorism is not viewed as a citizen. They don't want anybody to complain that a citizen's been taken into this dark hole and been denied his rights. So they've made this statement in Section 501. This proposal would make service in a hostile army or a terrorist group, loosely defined, prima facie evidence of the intent of the person to renounce his citizenship. So you see, if you get to be accused of terrorism, that's also saying that you have lost your citizenship, and therefore they don't have to designate you an enemy combatant. You're simply a non-citizen now. Very, very dangerous act, Stan.
Well, I think it really is, and the fact that they would even be considering that. You know, one of the things that bothers me so much, Joel, is so many Christians were just so happy when George Bush became president, and then he appointed John Ashcroft as our Attorney General. And people said, gee, isn't it wonderful to have one of us there? And as I look and see what John Ashcroft has done, and this is coming out of his Justice Department, I'm beginning to wonder, who is John Ashcroft? What does he really believe?
Well, it's obvious when you look at his background coming from Missouri. Missouri's a state that has always been deeply involved in the dark side of government. Most CIA front companies have been started up as Missouri corporations, and so having served in as Attorney General of Missouri and Governor of Missouri, he could not have been ignorant of this fact. And they draw a lot of people who are conservatives into the dark side of government by enticing them into the privilege of serving in the secret ranks of government service. I mean, like Senator Bennett from Utah, a very nice person. He was the son of another conservative senator, Wallace F. Bennett, and, when he was working for his father in Washington, D.C., they came to his father from the CIA and said, we need to start a P-8 PR, public relations firm, a front company for the CIA to launder our agents in and out of the agency and into private life. How would your son like to set up that agency, and we'll have Howard Hughes be his first client and give him a $300 million retainer? Offer he couldn't refuse. Serve the government, be patriotic, never have to worry about liability. And that's what Senator Bennett ran for many years, and that's how he gained his most of his wealth. Now, see, there's where you take a person who isn't an evil person, and he, to this day, thinks he was doing his great service. Of course, one of the Watergate burglars, Howard Hunt, was working for Bennett's PR firm when he broke into the Watergate hotel.
Well, of course, it's really so tragic that they can compromise good people. And, of course, the trouble is that sometimes after they've compromised them, they'll discard them, and many CIA agents end up, being sent to prison, simply written off by the CIA, and, when they need help, why they're totally abandoned.
Yes, that often happens. And, of course, oftentimes they get sent to prison as well when they get cold feet about the illegality of many operations. The CIA senses that. They set them up on an illegal operation, and then they call the police on them anonymously. The police pick them up, and when they go to court and say, I was on a CIA assignment, the CIA denies any knowledge of them, and they go to prison.
Plausible denial, I think, is the term that they have. Anyway, of course, this sort of thing goes on in our society today, and any of you out there who have not read the book Regicide about how the CIA killed the American president based upon the papers of Mr. Crowley, who was the deputy director of covert operations. It's a fascinating insight into really the dark side of government and how little concern there is about human life. People are expendable. Of course, the cause is the important thing. But the cause, of course, was continuing the power of the CIA and, of course, their drive towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, of course, is that about the sum total of the legislation? Is there anything more there?
Well, we've covered the essential points of that, Stan. It's there are some other points that I didn't mention that aren't, quite as damaging. But I think people have heard enough to get the gist of this, that they are really putting the final touches on locking down our rights in terms of this special group of people that can be drawn into this net of, how they keep widening this definition. This is what's very dangerous with this kind of wordage, like might appear to be in material support of terrorism. I mean, anything preparatory to a crime becomes a crime. I mean, this is just incredible, Dr. Stan.
Well, of course, but what can we do about it at this stage? It's not yet law. Should the people call and write and email their congressman? What can we do, knowing that this is what they really plan to do? And they're saying, oh, well, we would never do this. Of course, they lied about the very existence of this until some patriotic person leaked this to a think tank, and it became available then on the Internet. And now the government has ignored it, has admitted it, that says, oh, well, of course, it's just a study. Isn't that more or less the line they're putting out?
Yes, and they're obviously going to keep their head down about this. I don't think it does any good at this stage to... it might be beneficial if you have a congressman who is ostensibly conservative to whip him a copy of my report on this and say, if this ever comes up, I want to see you vote against this, to prepare these people to watch out for them. But certainly, I think... we need to be very, very careful. The government provoked a high-profile terrorist event that could occur, and this is surely going to appear in the aftermath. We need additional powers to stop these terrorism, and no one is going to stand in the way and stop it once we get a terrorist act. So we might well want to deluge our congressmen with these things before the fact so that they get prepared that we'll hold their feet to the fire if they... another Patriot Act on us.
All right, let's go to Eric calling from Compton. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Fine, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Question or comment?
I have a comment, and then I have a couple of minutes, and I have a quick question.
Okay.
I'm starting to get a little confused because of what you've been saying lately. You have so many conservative people, like especially down here in the L.A. area. You got Dennis Prager and all these other supposed to be conservatives that are just pro-war, and anybody who's not for the war or behind Bush is stupid. It's the same kind of language that the left uses, now the right's using.
Well, remember, it's not left and right. It's do you believe in the Constitution and freedom?
Well, I understand that, yeah.
And so, basically, some of these people don't know what it's all about, and some of them are as phony as a $3 bill.
That's kind of my question. Like, do these people just not know, or are they part of the problem, or are they on the CIA payroll?
I don't know. I don't know that you can really tell that. It's going to be individual. You have to know their track record. So I really can't tell you why Dennis Prager is doing what he's doing and the others are doing what they're doing. I know there are a lot of people who are very loyal to Israel who are supporting this. We're going to have to take a quick break here. We'll be back in just a moment. Joel, do you have any thoughts at all for Eric, who's calling from Compton, who's saying, look, all the conservatives in the Los Angeles area, they're all behind Bush. There's nobody who's willing to speak out against it.
Doctor, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
My question was, it's like, I'm always telling people about your radio program and trying to get them to listen. And what should my motivation be for telling people, for trying to get people just to understand the truth?
Well,
I can explain how you've helped me, but what should my motivation be?
Well, you have to figure out what they're interested in. Are they concerned about their financial future? Well, you know, if things go as we fear, they're going to lose all their material possessions. If they're concerned about their family, talk about the fact that we've been poisoning people with the vaccines or with the fluoride, and, of course, get that information. Find out what they're concerned about. You know, everybody has something they're concerned about. Maybe they're concerned about these concepts of freedom and the loss of freedom. Maybe they're concerned about what's happening in the courts. Maybe they're concerned about the environmental movement. Try to make them understand that, you know, this utopian world we have is crumbling, and that if we lose America, why, it doesn't matter what we have materially. It doesn't matter, we have a nice home, or all of this is lost. To try to make them understand that there's a real problem and try to find out what would get to them best.
I think a general motivation, though, that really would help people is to stimulate them with the idea that you're being selectively denied key information that might change your opinion if you knew what was really going on. And if you listen to Dr. Stan's show, you'll get that key information that's not being put out in the mainstream media. Just knowing or suspicious that they're being denied key information is enough for some people to say, all right, I'll listen and see what I'm not hearing. And because that's something that hits virtually every American, conservative or not, out there. They're being denied key information by the mainstream media.
And I that was the thing that really got me initially, Eric, 40 years ago, when I suddenly realized I'd been brainwashed in college, and here I had this five-bit of Kappa key, and I thought I was so smart, and I realized I was terribly, terribly stupid. I had no idea what was going on in the world. And so the idea that there is thought control in America, and but just point out the fact that if we say something, if they contact us, we'll send them the source of that information. I think that is so important.
Okay, would you agree that the very bottom line should be to point them to Christ?
Oh, man, of course it will. But, of course, the thing is that sometimes you have to convince people there's a problem before they begin looking for the solution.
Absolutely.
And the final analysis, that's what it's really all about.
Okay.
All
right, Dr. Stan.
Good night.
Thank you
God
so
bless. And somebody called in, wanted to know Joel's telephone number. It's 800-556-2012. 800-556-2012. And we've got Jim calling from Santa Cruz. This will be the last call because we've got to wrap up the program. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Doing
hey, good
great.
To hear from you.
I appreciate your program. Appreciate what you guys are doing. And I just wanted to comment that I think that what a lot of people out there on the right who are supporting Bush, what they don't understand is that all this power that we're going to give to the government under the USA Patriot Act and all these other pieces of legislation that are coming down the line, once we give that power to the government, we're not going to get it back. I don't think they're going to give it back.
You're absolutely right. They don't want to give it back. That's why they don't want to put sunset clauses on this.
Yep, and I think that's what people really need to think about when they watch Fox News or all these other programs where All this stuff is constantly being pushed. Once we give all this power away and scrap the Constitution so we can fight the war on terror, once that crisis is passed, we're not going to get that power back.
Amen.
Absolutely true.
Okay, and thanks so much, Jim. You're right. We're out of time. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, fine. That was Jim calling from Santa Cruz. And Joel, we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, I think this is very important, what he said. I mean, these powers are never coming back. Once people get immune to the loss of their liberties, and essentially they'll be immune by the fact that these aren't going to be used to attack them until way, way down the line, but it is going to be used to attack our conservative constitutional leaders as they'll be taken off to the gulags one by one to this dark hole that they're basically creating. So this is very, very important information. I thank you for having me on tonight.
Thanks so much. We'll look forward to having you with us again on Thursday.
All right. Good night now.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Joel Skousen. I hope you enjoyed him. I always enjoy having Joel with us, and I hope that you'll maybe want to get a copy of the program this evening or go to his website and get his information and help us to get that information out across America. We have to let people know that what's at stake is the future of our children and generations yet unborn. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when we have to remind you Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We hope many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And it's as simple as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free copy of our January newsletter, which deals with the threat of biological warfare and what you need to start doing right now to prepare for it. And believe me, it's not getting more duct tape and more clear plastic to put on your windows. It has to do with building up your immune system. If you'd like to get a free copy of our January newsletter or any of the other newsletters, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And, of course, encourage them to begin listening to our radio programs if they don't already. I encourage them to pull down the radio programs and copy them, or to certainly to pull down our newsletters or anything else that's up there. And they have our permission to copy anything that's up there to try to get people to begin to think. And that's the biggest problem today. People just aren't thinking. And you wanted, I think, of the point that Joel's made so well, let them know that they're not getting the truth. There is an organized effort to control and manipulate what they think. And when they begin to face that reality, that is a frightening thing to realize that we have press censorship in America, and ask them which one of our major newspapers now is actively opposing the coming war. And you're not going to find very many of them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for a revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you once again with what I hope will be another fascinating program, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. Oh, they understand.
So sure, I'll remember to get, try to remember to get that for you.
Do you know where?
Yeah, I know where. I know where it is. It's the material for my. We'll probably get some requests for it, so I'll probably get it from the official. Good night. Thanks so much.
Good night.